Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Chapter 1. The Man in the Churchyard. It was, I think, the most frightening thing that ever happened to me. I am a grown man now, but I was a small boy at the time, and I can feel, even yet, the thrill of horror that ran through me on that Christmas Eve all those years ago. I had, for some reason, wandered into the churchyard and found my parents' grave. It was a raw afternoon towards evening, I remember. The wind was rushing in from the sea, and beyond the churchyard wall there stretched the dark, flat wilderness of the marsh country, with the river winding across it. I was already a bundle of shivers, feeling lost and afraid, when a figure started up from among the gravestones and scared me halfway out of my skin.
"Hold your noise," cried a terrible voice, "and keep still, you little devil, or I'll cut your throat."
He seized me by the chin, a fearful man, all in coarse grey, with a great iron on his leg. A man with no hat, and with broken shoes, and with an old rag tied around his head. A man who was wet to the skin and covered in mud, who shook and shivered, and whose teeth chattered in his head as he glared into my eyes.
"Oh, don't cut my throat, sir," I begged in terror. "Pray, don't do it, sir."
"Tell us your name," said the man, giving me a little shake. "Quick."
"Pip, sir."
"What?"
said the man, staring at me. "It's really Philip, but everyone calls me Pip."
"Show us where you live," he ordered. "Point to the place."
I pointed to where our village lay among the trees, a mile or more from the church. The man looked at me for a moment, then turned me upside down and emptied my pockets. There was nothing in them but a piece of bread. When the church came to itself again, for he was so sudden and strong that he made it go head over heels before me, I was seated on a tall gravestone, trembling, while he ate the bread like a hungry beast.
"You young dog," he said suddenly,
with a threatening shake of his head.
"What fat cheeks you've got! I've half a mind to eat you."
He hurriedly expressed my hope that he wouldn't, and held tighter to the stone to keep myself from crying.
"Now, look here," said the man. "Where's your mother?"
"There, sir," said I. He jumped, started to run away, then stopped and glared at me over his shoulder. I pointed. "There, sir," I explained timidly. "She's dead. And my father, too."